This is the Closet Geek, episode 68 for January 16th, 2015. Bless you.
Should we start again? Since we're...
No, let's just keep it.
Closet Geek, coming to you each week in Closet Geek. All things of geeks critiqued in Closet Geek. Comics and games and tech in Closet Geek. Lego, Star Wars, Star Trek, and Closet Geek. We are not nerds, we have some social skills to call our own. Closet Geek!
Since we're...
Hey guys, welcome to the Closet Geek, where geeks come out. The podcast where four brothers have united their powers to become the four horsemen of geek, to bring you the latest and greatest geeky news. I'm your host, Barry Ricks, and with me I have... Ryan and John.
Yay. Hello. We're here.
But Michael is currently occupied and might join us later, so...
He's at sword class.
He's at sword class, teaching sword class.
He actually teaches people how to sword fight.
Yeah, 15th century broadsword fighting.
So, if that's not geeky, I don't know what is.
That's it. I guess that's a good excuse, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go to our first segment of the show.
This week in Geek.
This is the segment where we talk about things we did geeky throughout the week and things we could recommend and that we love and that we just want to share with you guys. So, Ryan, why don't you start us off this week?
Well, I've been playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, woo!
How's that going for you?
Pretty good.
So I just have to chime in real fast about World of Warcraft. In a group I'm part of on Facebook, one guy posted something, and it was this nice World of Warcraft box. Mm-hmm. And then inside the box was a bronze statue of an orc riding a wolf. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I just got this in the mail. Blizzard sent it to me as a thank you for being a 10-year subscriber to WoW.
Wow. That's awesome. Okay.
Like 10 straight years,
I did hear that they were giving gifts out for long-term
But it was like an actual
subscribers.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, they sent it to him, and he's like, here, look at this. And
that's pretty awesome.
It wasn't cheap-looking. It was nice and fancy.
That's pretty awesome.
So, I think it's the same exact statue they have in front of their building.
Yeah, just on a smaller scale.
Just on a smaller scale, yeah.
Cool.
So, anyway, I thought that was cool.
Ryan's been playing that long, but not concurrently.
Yeah, right. Not consecutively.
Yeah, I take a couple month breaks here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I've been playing. Been helping my wife kill big monsters.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
You were going to say you're helping your wife with Girl Scout cookies.
No.
Nope, that's all her.
No, yes, that's very true. I'll help eat them.
That's right.
There you go.
And then that's pretty much it.
Just some gaming. You have any prop stuff you're working on?
No.
Oh, all right.
I've had nothing going. Well, I've been focusing on... gym. I've been going to the gym. I have a new workout program that I'm following, and I'm doing CrossFit twice a week.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
So I've been doing T25 for 2 weeks now. Because my wife and I, we stopped, but then we picked it back up after New Year.
Christmas.
Yeah. New Year's
after
resolution.
The holidays of eating horribly.
yeah mine's not really a New Year's resolution as much as I committed to it in November, but I really didn't have an opportunity to get to the gym until this month. So
yeah, well, you've been busy moving twice and
so we'll have to... I'm hoping to be fit enough to march in the Dragon Con parade this year as a Spartan.
Oh,
really?
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
So that's
a good goal.
That is my goal. I'm going to... That's
going
to be
Spartan,
my
Spartan, right?
Yeah, not a fat Spartan. Retired Spartan. I can do that right now.
Sure, I could dress up as a Spartan. Watch me. Woo! Pasty boy down the sidewalk.
Not the Halo Spartan where you're
no,
covered, but
like the Greek
Spartan from Sparta.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes, and it from the movie 300. And I will be making my own armor,
cool.
Cloak, and leather speedo,
which you know all Spartans wore back then. You know, it's very very fashionable.
Yes, very, very historically accurate.
Right.
So, with Dragon Con, though, but you were also asked to be in another Marvel group, right?
Can you talk about
that? I'm going to have to...
Talk about that?
No, yeah, I'm going to bow out of that.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, bummer.
I'm not up for the...
The character?
The character, the costume that they want me
so
to make.
So are you, besides your Sparta, are you still going to, like, take Ultron and Chewbacca down there with you? You'll kind of swap out?
Yeah, definitely have Ultron. It's going to be big this year.
Oh, yeah.
Avengers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
the
movie will have just come out.
Yeah, and Star Wars, of course. Chewbacca's always a big hit.
Right, right.
Well, and with that, a big anticipation for the Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You've got a couple good costumes there for this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be cool.
Yeah. All right.
So that's basically what I've been doing.
Sweet. John?
Not a whole lot since last week. I was sick in bed for like 72 hours.
Oh, dude.
And,
that sucks.
Yeah. So I'm feeling much better now. But between that and my work schedule, I really haven't had a whole lot of time. But I've read – I actually picked up and read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy again.
Again? Oh, so you've read it before.
Yeah, I've read it before, but it's been since – gosh, to be honest, it's probably been since high school since I've read it. So I just picked it up and I – you know, didn't have anything else to do, so I read that and finished that in like a day. And then I picked up another book called Thieves Like Us, and it's kind of interesting. It's almost a kind of a you kind of take the Fagin character from Oliver Twist,
yeah,
and how he kind of collects his boys to do, you know, his dirty work for him. You kind of combine that with like Indiana Jones, where
okay.
where this guy kind of collects kids who are very specialized in what they do. Like he finds
I have a very special set of skills.
Exactly. So he finds like somebody that's like really good, like a driver. Like she can drive anything, she can fly anything, because she used to be a smuggler out of Cuba. And so then he also finds like somebody that's like a master lock pick, and he can pretty much, you know, pick any lock and get into any safe, and that's his expertise. There's another one who's really expert on like security systems and electronics and that kind of thing. And
so it's a real world modern day book.
Yeah, it takes place in modern time.
Okay.
But what they end up doing is they kind of take jobs for people to acquire very specific items, and most of these items are things found in crypts or mausoleums and things like that. So they have to go in and kind of like figure out how to get into this area and avoid all the booby traps. And it feels very Indiana Jones-ish as they're going through these tombs and dodging
it,
all
the belongs in a museum.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So it was kind of fun. I mean, you know, I think it's geared more for like the young adult genre, but
okay.
It was fun to read.
Cool.
Other than that, I did. Excuse me. I did. sorry, had to recover there for a second. I received an email from Catalyst Games, the makers of a game coming out called Duelist. This is one that that Barry and I kind of ran into early in its developmental stage, and I think Barry did a sweet Kicks for Bricks with Catalyst.
I interviewed them like in April when they were still on Kickstarter.
And so I was pretty impressed with what they had, and so I decided to support their Kickstarter. And because of that, they sent me an email saying, hey, we're doing our pre-alpha launch, and you're in. So I got in, kind of played that, and it's kind of a tactical turn-based squad
game. It's Final Fantasy Tactics meets Hearthstone.
Because there's
you can buy booster packs,
right?
Which essentially you can create your army with.
Yeah, you build your deck, and your deck is essentially what allows you to determine, you know, which units you're gonna have on the field. But right now, you know, it's you know, pre-alpha, so everything's kind of limited, and you know.
But it's still cool. It has the
pixel art.
You know, the pixel art, and the design is really cool, and it plays pretty smoothly.
It does
for pre-alpha.
For pre-alpha, the gameplay the game itself runs pretty smoothly, but I haven't really played a whole lot. I've only done like three or four different matches against other people, but it's been pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm along the same lines as you. I've only been able to play it a few times myself.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's still cool though. It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
So
that's it for me.
Me,
you.
Since there's no Michael at the moment.
Yay! I mean,
And we can say that because he probably won't listen to the episode anyway, right?
Right.
I also did got the Duelist pre-alpha as well. Did some board gaming that I bought a couple games with some leftover Christmas money. I bought Forbidden Desert by Game Right Games. And
Forbidden Island.
No, I got Forbidden Desert.
Oh. I thought you said Forbidden Island once.
I may have.
That's right.
On accident.
But, that's pretty close.
So Forbidden Desert, essentially Forbidden Desert is the sequel to Forbidden Island. Very similar gameplay.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was able to sit down with my wife and my brother-in-law and play the game, and that game was surprisingly intense.
Yeah, it's
like
it's a game like, that will make you, you know, it's designed to make you lose.
We died.
Yeah,
we lost.
Yeah,
we did not win. So
you really
have
to be
like,
smart about how to play.
We're like, oh, well, we'll do this next time. So, but it makes you want to play it again because learning different strategies and everything. But it was really fun. I recommend anyone to go get it. And then I had just a little bit of money left over, and I picked up this game called IOTA, which I saw because Will Wheaton was during Christmas was talking about good stocking stuffers, and it is. It's like the size of it's
like
really
bandage,
really tiny.
A bandage tin.
Yeah, it's really small, but it's full. It's a think of Quirkle
on cards,
but you know it's along the same lines where you're matching certain things
shapes
and not matching
and colors.
Shapes, colors, numbers, and I'll admit, it took us like three times to play it to kind of really understand it. So it was kind of hard at first to really get going. But once we started understanding everything perfectly, then it's like, oh, this game is lots of fun. And my wife and I, Crystal, we had lots of fun playing against just the two of us.
Yeah.
And so it was lots of fun. And it was only like $10.
Cool.
And it just, I recommend that to people too. I I was able to get some more Destiny time in. I think I'm at like level 4 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still higher than you.
It's casual gamers unite.
That's right. Level 7 here.
But my wife was like reading a book and she's like, "How about I just read a book and you can play Destiny?" I'm like, "Okay."
Wow. Okay. Not gonna pass that one up.
So I played a little bit of Destiny and but it's kind of fun because I when I logged on, you know, Bungie had given people a special gift, and mine was like a gun or something I can't use until level 20,
right? But everybody got a legendary item.
Yeah.
Some of us can't use it yet.
Yeah. And then I realized that I got my special symbol for being a part of the beta as well.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. I hope to be able to play a little bit more of that. My Sweet Kicks with Bricks episodes this week, the first one was for a game called Overture, which was essentially it's a 16-bit action roguelike, you know, procedurally generated, all those things, where you could play a bunch of different classes and you're just running around fighting masses of monsters. So it looked fun, and it's fully funded.
Like like Dynasty Warriors? That kind of thing?
Well, but in 16-bit top-down view action, so you have like a bunch of stuff coming at you and you're just running around fighting stuff within the dungeon. But then there's like bosses.
It like a twin stick shooter kind of thing?
Well, it's for the PC.
Oh, okay.
And so you're using the typical keyboard actions, but then you use your mouse and you basically click on what you want to attack, and it's very quick paced.
Oh, okay.
So it looks, but it does look fun. And so if you want to, you guys can check that out. And also, I did a card game called Gang Up. The artwork in this is really, really cool, and it's essentially you're playing gangsters trying to be the top gangsters within the city type of thing. And cool. That's fully funded as well. So those two are going to get made, and yeah, they're pretty cool. So nice. Check those out. And speaking of Sweet Kicks with Bricks, Sweet Kicks with Bricks will have their own own website within the month.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's pretty cool. All right, that's it for this week in Geek. And Mike's apparently trying to log on, but he can't because he's trying to use his phone.
I told you it wouldn't work.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work. All right, well, let's just go to our next section of
segment.
The show.
Segment-tion.
The Weekly Geek. All right, this is The Weekly Geek, where we talk about geeky news that happened throughout the week, things we thought was worth mentioning and highlighting. So I just want to say one thing to start off with, because we only have one note in the TV/series. It's a new YouTube series being produced by Geek and Sundry.
Okay.
And it's called LARPs. It's about live action role playing, but it's not like a documentary.
No, it's a scripted comedy.
It's a scripted comedy. And episode one came out today, I think.
Okay.
And it's only 2.5 minutes long.
Right. It's a webisode.
So, it's a webisode. And I would caution people that it does have strong language in it, which was kind of disappointing to me because I don't like that. But, you know, it doesn't bother some people. But in the aspect of the LARPing aspect of it, it was really funny because you have three people that are like really into it, right? And they're like talking in character, and then you have this one guy that, you know, he's just there to have fun.
Sure.
And he's like, he's like, "Oh, are we going to mess him up now?" He's like, "I shoot him in the face." And we're like, "We don't want him dead." He's like, "Okay, well, I shoot him in the balls." And we're like, "What?" And it was, you know, it was typical bathroom humor, I guess. But but for those that
locker
are listening,
room humor.
There you go.
I don't know if people go into the bathroom and tell jokes.
They don't.
Weird people.
I tell
do.
Jokes in the bathroom all the time. Come
You're
on.
A joke in the bathroom.
Oh.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means. but so if you want to check that out, it was funny, but be warned, it does use strong language. So
not for children.
All right. Not for children.
Or work.
Definitely. Or yeah, not safe for work either.
Depends that's on true. Where you work.
I guess that's true.
I guess that's
if
true
you,
because
if you work in the locker room, then you can watch it all you want to.
Yeah. There you go.
So did you guys see the new Age of Ultron trailer?
Yes. Yes, I did.
I caught glimpses of it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
What are you thinking of so far?
I'm going to have to agree with you on your theory of
why the Hulk is beating up Iron Man.
Why they're fighting. Because, yeah, you mentioned it, and you see it a couple times in the trailer.
When you pay
where
attention, you're like, oh, yeah.
His
glowing red
his
eyes.
His eyes are red and, like, all freaking out.
Yep.
So I agree with you that Scarlet Witch probably hexed
him. I think she hexes the Hulk.
Put a spell on him.
And it's up to
and I bet you,
Tony
I bet
to try
you,
to put him down.
I bet you they fight, but I bet you it's the Black Widow that finally breaks it.
It seems
and that,
to be. There's that
in that
scene.
Moment where they have that moment of calmness.
Right.
I think that's when it breaks.
The Beauty and the Beast thing, you know.
I'll tell you what happens when I watch it.
Nice.
Well, what I thought was interesting is
watch
that,
right
you know, a lot of people kind of picked up on it, but they didn't really for sure know exactly what it was all about. But there were a couple of female characters that were in the trailer that weren't specified as to who they were, what they were doing. But
yeah, like the attack Thor.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation that they are.
The
yeah. There's the one,
yeah,
the cave scene where she's taking off her cloak or whatever, and then the other one that's with Thor. But there's a lot of speculation that it's going to have a lot to do with the Black Panther character, because we know that they did announce that they are going to do the Black Panther movie.
And they already have the actor.
Right.
And
so I think that this is going to – they're going to start introducing – parts of that possibly
crossover characters.
Yeah, possibly even going to the fictional country of Wakanda, where Black Panther is from, and some of that action. But yeah, it's going to be awesome. So I'm excited.
I'm sure it's going to be great. And then there's the speculation of Andy Serkis's character.
Oh yeah.
Because for once, he's playing not a motion captured character.
Right.
But a lot of people are speculating that he's going to be the Claw.
Right.
So, part of Hydra type of thing.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with that character as.
All I know is that he has
others.
Like this mechanical arm that shoots like sound waves or something like that.
Okay. Well, maybe I should do a little bit more research and find out more about that character. But yeah, so there's that. The new trailer is out. If you haven't seen it, go check it out.
Well, also in the trailer, they don't show Quicksilver once.
Well, that's true. Not a whole. No, I don't remember seeing.
But
him.
they showed more
Scarlet
of
Witch.
Scarlet Witch,
that's
which
true.
Was interesting.
Yeah.
So
I actually,
hey,
that's
I see
why
Michael.
Michael's here.
Yay.
Here he is.
Guys, oh my gosh, my laptop decided to deny the fact that I existed and said,
"Nope,
what?
You are not who you say you are."
It's like
I deny you.
Yeah, you might hear a little bit of reverb. Let me know, and I can adjust my mic. But I have to record in my bedroom instead of normally at my desktop because Kathy has 10 women downstairs all being very loud. So if you can hear them, let me know, and I'll adjust my mic as well. Hello, everybody
so far,
out there in podcast
so far,
world. Sorry, I'm late.
All right,
that's okay. We're talking
Avengers.
Weekly geek stuff. Avengers. Did you see the new trailer?
Yes.
Okay. So
thoughts. Do you have any thoughts to share?
It looked a lot like the first trailer.
There you go. All right.
It was
so, I mean,
the same movie.
Yeah, well, no, I was like, I saw it and I thought to myself, I was thinking, these, you know, versions of Ultron look a lot like Terminators.
Oh,
nice.
You know, it. I don't know, maybe it's because I had just recently seen the Terminator as well, but I was thinking to myself, yeah, these look a lot like that, and, you know, you get, like, what, maybe two lines from Ultron in the preview, but I didn't see anything that really stood out to me.
Yeah, I think they're trying to keep, you know, for the most part, they're trying to keep, you know, some of it under wraps as much as possible. But, you know, they don't want to spoil it by putting stuff in the trailer. Yeah. They do things.
And they still haven't shown any of the Vision.
Yeah, they haven't shown the Vision at all in any of the trailers or anything like that.
I think the most interesting thing I got out of the trailer was at the very beginning when they're loading all the people onto that transport. That transport's cool looking.
Yeah.
That was like, the whole time I was thinking, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't think about anything else in the
probably
preview.
Probably like a leftover shield vehicle of some kind.
Well, and it's also interesting that they and we know that they're in the movie, but that they haven't even like hinted, because I'm sure they're waiting to like surprise the people that don't know about it, but that Loki is in the movie and Hemnel. So
Heimdall,
whatever.
Well, because I think there's speculation that the Avengers actually go to Asgard.
Oh, I thought it was because, I mean, that could be it, but I thought this is the movie where they're going to split apart. Thor is going to go back to Asgard because he finds out that Loki is actually on the throne.
Oh, right.
And everyone's going to split and go their own ways, and then that will bring up the next Captain America movie of the Civil War,
right? Well, yeah, so it'll all be told out in the end,
and then they'll join back together in Avengers 3, where also there's apparently deals have finally been struck and been, I guess, confirmed that Marvel has now acquired the rights once again to their friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Well, I think that, first of all, we need to take that with a pretty big grain of salt, because nothing has been confirmed, as you said. And it, from what I understand, it wouldn't necessarily be that they've got the rights back, but that there was a deal made where Sony would allow them to use the Spider-Man character in the movie, but not necessarily that they like bought the rights from them outright.
Yeah, there's still some, you know, areas that we're not sure, but
more and more each day
it seems like this is going to happen. We're going to get Spider-Man
in the
Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Sony did come out and deny it though.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see. That's why I'm like, okay. So, I mean, after the initial story broke, Sony came out and said, no, we don't know what that's all about. So, is it true? Is it not? I don't know. We'll see. But, I mean, for those of us that are comic book readers, in the Civil War storyline, the Spider-Man is a pretty big player in that storyline. So
he's like one of the biggest players.
And
like
so,
it's him, Iron Man, and Captain America are like the triangle of the Civil War.
It'll be interesting to see if they are able to put something like that together.
So, but we know if that happens, sorry for people that are in love with Andrew Garfield's version of him, but he will not. They pretty much have guaranteed that he will not be reprising his role.
Well, because like I said, you know, they didn't – in any deal that does happen, it's not going to be a matter of Disney purchasing the rights away from Sony back to Marvel. It's going to be more of a cooperative deal between companies saying, okay, yeah, for X amount of money, we'll let you use the character, but it's not going to be – yeah, it's not going to be Andrew Garfield. It's going to be, you know, Marvel's version of Spider-Man.
Well, and speaking of other Marvel movies that are not owned by Marvel, so the Fantastic Four trailer is said to be coming out and attached to the Kingsman: The Secret Service that's coming out in February.
Meh.
Well, I wanted to ask Ryan something, though, because he has recently read a lot of the Fantastic Four and become a fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the storyline, apparently, it's a, you know, what they said that it's going to be is that the Fantastic Four, they're not going to be the people that go up into space and have the cosmic radiation affect them, but that they're actually going to be like a group of dimensional travelers that come from a different dimension into our dimension, and they already have the powers. And so if that's how the road they're going to go down,
so they're an alternate reality Fantastic Four,
right?
Earth Prime or whatever.
Yeah. So what is your thought about that?
616 zone.
They're just trying to appease people on the fact that this Fantastic Four is going to be completely different from what people think Fantastic Four is.
Right. Yeah. So
it's going to be called Fantastic Four, but it's not going to be a Fantastic Four.
Right. Gotcha.
From the comics.
Yeah. It'll have the similarities, huh?
Will it be good? Marvel usually has good movies.
Yeah, but this isn't Marvel, though. It's Fox.
Oh, yeah. It's going to suck.
So, Ryan, it looks like you put a note just in there about the Batman and Robin.
Yes, Batman and Robin animated trailer just came out.
It's the next
it's on IGN. Yeah, it's the next
animated movie.
Is that the story of, like, where they're fighting?
That's the story of the Court of Owls.
Yeah.
Oh, like, they're
it's
doing
taken
that
from
the
Batman and Robin New 52 first story.
Oh, I loved the Court of Owls storyline.
It was cool.
Where Robin gets taken under the wing of the Batman's arch nemesis or whatever, and the story unfolds from there. Remember that part?
Yeah.
No.
Don't remember that part.
All right.
I remember that like Dick Grayson got like, cuz it turned out that Dick Grayson was actually like one of the
possible recruits,
right, for the Court of Owls.
Yeah, but that was his own series. That wasn't was that Batman and Robin?
That was in Batman.
Oh, no, that was in
That was in
it
the
was
regular
probably
Batman.
One of the crossover titles.
So in in the Batman and Robin
Batman
story,
and Robin
it's
series.
The Court of Owls and the Damian Wayne is Robin, and the bad guy is an old person from Bruce Wayne's history. So.
Ah, okay,
gotcha. Cool.
So yeah, trailer looked good. I watched it.
Well, all of DC's animated movies are good.
Not all.
I wouldn't say all.
Okay. Pretty much all of them.
The majority of them.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job, but some of them are a little more missed than hit. But, I mean, it is Batman.
So. I look forward to seeing the new Throne of Atlantis movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's coming out pretty soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Aquaman never does really well.
Right, because people... For some reason, don't like Aquaman.
But they're going to portray him as he should be, which is this hardcore,
superhero. Right, but even the New 52 tried to do that, and the Aquaman series is not one of their better sellers.
I think it's because the majority of the audience can't really connect to underwater.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that.
So it's just foreign, and it feels like it's like not the same reality.
Oh, okay. I think unfortunately history has just not been kind to Aquaman.
Has made fun of Aquaman.
Yeah, he's always been like
Well, if you're going to talk about superheroes that have been treated unkind,
well, he's always been viewed as a weaker superhero, and you know, unless you're a reader
when
of
he's
the,
actually as strong,
right?
As, like,
I mean, he's like a demigod essentially. You know, unless you're a reader of the comics, you don't really know that. All you know is from, like, you know, Super Friends, where he would, like, summon fish.
I was waiting for that, you know? Super Friends, like, you know.
Yeah.
He would summon fish, and that's about all
he would
do. He would
ride on the back of a dolphin.
Yeah.
So hopefully this new animated movie will, you know, change that.
Well, also... help. Well, hopefully it helps for the Aquaman movie, a live-action movie, when it comes out.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, because Jason Momoa, whatever his name is,
yeah.
Because he was really, you know, he was really awesome in Conan, right?
Yes.
No.
Jason Momoa can make any movie awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Conan the Barbarian, the remake, was so bad. It was like...
No, I actually
it was even worse than Conan the Destroyer.
It was
saying quite a bit.
It was boring. Well, it was boring, and the characters had no grit. It was just kind of like, you know, ooh, it kind of looks like Conan. That's about it.
Yeah. Time hop the phone app that will look back in time at your like.
Oh,
Twitter
no.
And Facebook feeds.
I've seen people do it, but
a couple days ago, I was looking at my time hop and I was like, whoa, 3 years ago I watched Conan and I said that it was so terrible I had to watch half of it in fast forward just to say that I watched it. and I was like, that's so funny that you guys brought that up, because I was like, I just read that it was awful. That's awesome. From myself 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like that. The other movie, what's that? The 300, Rise of an Empire.
The second one.
Oh my gosh, that was horrible.
They made another film.
I mean, the first one was Zack Snyder.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's awesome.
Yeah,
and the movie was awesome, and the movie is like got great reviews even on Rotten Tomatoes. Second, it has like 89% on Rotten Tomatoes, okay? And it's, that means it's a good movie.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Rise of the Empire got like 12.
Nice.
It was bad. I mean, it was just this excuse to have this sex scene in the middle of the movie.
I'm sure.
Or to have like a horse riding on, because, you know, all ships in the ocean have horses, right?
Yes, of course.
Yes, and all these ships are smashing into each other. So
it's historically accurate.
So basically they're creating this island of broken ships that the horse just charges through, and he's all hacking up the bad guys.
Because I'm on a horse.
It was just so – I mean, the first movie was stylized and cool, and I could appreciate it for that. But the second movie was just like so over the top stupid.
Yeah, it should have just been a one shot. They shouldn't have – But, you know, because it was so big, they're like, oh, let's make more money.
Yeah, but
well,
it's kind of 10 years later.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of the Sin City and Sin City 2. Like, the first Sin City was well-received, and the second one bombed majorly.
I don't know
majorly.
If it was well-received.
I think so. I think it was.
Was it?
Yeah, it was actually pretty well-received.
Oh, critically, how well?
All right, someone Google that on Rotten Tomatoes.
So, as far as gaming news, Nintendo had one of their big Nintendo Direct news conferences and made a lot of big announcements, including the new 3DS XL that's coming to America. Which I think is interesting that they're not bringing the new 3DS, just the new 3DS XL, because, you know, Americans don't like little things, I guess.
Well, so. The new 3DS XL as well doesn't come with a charger.
Right. They
yeah,
they said,
they, because they can't fit it in the box.
No. They made a good point. They made a valid
point.
They said the reason why is because all of the previous AC adapters, all the way back to like the DSi, is compatible. So if you have like an older AC adapter, you can just use
DS,
you could just use it on this new one. So why charge you $20 more?
See, but I think it's the older 3DS because I have a DS and I have a 3DS and they're not the same.
There's
adapter.
A difference between a DS and a DSi.
Oh, sorry.
No, I mean, there is. There is.
There is.
So should I get this thing for, you know, my son's been, you know, the Wii U, he's been wanting the Wii U. Is this something, should I skip the Wii U and just go for this thing or what's going on?
It's their handheld. So, you know, it is a different type of system, but the 3DS is pretty awesome.
It is. And, I like mine.
I mean, Barry has one. He doesn't have the XL. But,
I don't.
The XL has got a larger screen.
What kind of games do you have? Like the Mario Brothers? What's on that?
Yeah, there's plenty. Any kind of Mario that you can
Mario Kart, is that on it?
Mario Kart,
yep.
Smash
Mario
Brothers.
Kart. You can even get Super Smash Brothers. Yeah.
What's
Pikmin? They have the new
Pokemon.
They have the new Zelda.
No, Pikmin.
Pikmin's on there too,
Pikmin.
I believe.
Is it?
Pikmin?
On the 3DS?
I think so.
The cool thing about the new ones is that I don't know if you've heard, but Nintendo's coming out with their Amiibos, which is their line of figures.
Yeah.
And,
did you hear about the Princess Peach one that was manufactured incorrectly, so it didn't have legs?
It was
and it went for like $10,000 on eBay.
It was more than that. It was like 23.
Was it
or something like that?
Just as a collector's item.
Yeah, because it was a factory defect.
Yeah.
So these new 3DS are going to have improved connectivity with these little figures, and you can actually use them kind of like, you know, with like Skylanders and stuff like that.
Skylanders or
But
or
it's a little
Disney
bit different
Infinity.
Because the way that the Nintendo figures work is that when you put your figure on the sensor, and the sensor is built right into the 3DS, so you don't have to have this separate pedestal or anything like that. So what you do is it essentially becomes a character in the game, but you don't actually play as that character. It just kind of learns with you and kind of becomes like a companion character that especially within like the Smash Brothers game. So it becomes like your partner and that kind of thing. But it learns. And so the more games you play with your little figure, the more it can do in future games. But
plus, they're just they're really
plus
cool.
They're awesome. Yeah. I want to get
I would
a
just
couple
buy
of them.
I just want to hang them on my wall.
Yeah,
why I like the Marvel Disney Infinity ones.
Those are cool too.
Like Thor and Hulk and stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, I have them, so.
There you go.
But Nintendo did announce a lot of new games that they're coming out.
Did they talk about their quality of life initiative that they've been boasting about?
No.
Because apparently that's like their next like big thing. I think
until E3.
E3, that'll be their big announcement at E3 where they're like, "Let's sweep the Wii U underneath the rug on something else."
I don't know if it's and that's the thing is that I don't think this quality of life thing is a new system.
It's not a new system,
it's
but it's something
new,
that
a new way of utilizing the technology that they have.
Yeah.
The Wii U is here to stay. It's not going to go away until they release their new system in a couple years from now or whatever. They did announce a new Fire Emblem.
Really?
I know you're a Fire Emblem fan, Barry.
I am.
Cool.
They announced a new Fire Emblem for the 3DS.
Yes.
Love
those series.
There's going to be a new Pokemon title. And then there's what I think is cool is that they are releasing older Wii games that are going to be available to to that are coming out on the Wii U. Now, you can play older Wii games on the Wii U already.
But, I thought it was going to be a streaming service.
No, I mean it's just they're going to release some of their older popular games through their eShop, and it's just a downloadable title. But like for example, the first one that they're going to release is Super Mario Galaxy 2, which is you know one of their bigger, more popular titles. And the one that I would be excited about is the Metroid Prime Trilogy, which is one of the best games on the Wii, but it's really hard to find. You can't.
It's one of those like really expensive
right.
ones.
Right, and so if you do find it, it's still like $30-$40 for a game that's like 10 years old because it's really good and it's really popular. But what they've done is they're going to release it as a downloadable title for $10, and it's like what? So yeah, I mean, it's pretty awesome that they're doing that kind of thing. You know, Nintendo, in my opinion, Nintendo's going strong. You know, they're really making a point of making sure that people understand that they're still around and they're not, they haven't died. Yeah,
they're not
they're
going
not
anywhere.
Dead yet.
Not dead yet. I just want to say that, right now on PlayStation Plus, you can get DuckTales Remastered
for free the Dude. PlayStation 3.
I remember playing DuckTales for hours on the NES. Man, that I loved that game. It was so good. And so I'm like, I'm going to get this and I'm going to play it. And
hey, you can't beat the price.
I know, right? But also I got a late Christmas present from my brother-in-law, which was a $20 Steam card.
Oh, okay.
So
now you need
to
figure out what you're going to get?
I'm going to buy Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight.
And I'm going to play
the
heck out
on
of
the
Shovel
PC,
Knight.
On the PC, huh?
Yep.
Cool.
And it's going to be awesome.
I haven't played it. I've heard good things about it.
I've heard nothing but good things about it. And I like that type of platforming indie game. So
right.
That'll be good. Yeah, so video games.
Video games.
Yeah.
They're good stuff, man.
I have my own. I haven't been playing anything.
Collect your
really.
Thoughts. Collect
yeah,
your thoughts.
I know. Well, you know, contribute. Yeah. I get to talk between John and Barry? What?
No. No, okay, your turn's done. Back to us.
You wasted it, man.
No.
I think you've been hit one too many times in the head with a sword.
There's a reason why we don't let you talk.
Well, you saw the posting on our page about the huge update that's coming for my Final Fantasy 14.
It's mine.
No, it looks cool. It's
cool.
Such a huge update. The fact that they're including content from Final Fantasy VII with the gold saucer, they're including a mini game from Final Fantasy IX, like all the most popular aspects of some of these huge iconic games that they had in the past, they're including in the MMO. So that's pretty awesome. So it's going to be cool to see what comes of it.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, so, it's cool that they bring stuff from the past.
I don't know where John
so
went.
What? Well, yeah, John left. Okay.
So what about the...
So we get to talk.
Is there any news on how well that Star Wars comic is doing? They said they wanted to sell a million copies.
They've already sold that, I believe. Or they had a million copies like pre-ordered.
Right. Well.
So whether that means people actually picked them up or not.
You're saying one person went out and bought 400,000 copies to inflate the value, and then everybody else got their orders.
Well, maybe. I haven't read it yet, but
I know.
I've heard nothing but good things about it. Everybody that has all of the reviews that I've read, everybody's really excited about the direction that it seems to be going, that it feels very very much like Star Wars. You know, for years and years, Dark Horse has had the Star Wars comics, and you know, a lot of their stuff has been good, but reading the new one that just came out, it feels just like Star Wars. It drops you right in to the middle of action, where, you know, stuff's going on right from the very get-go. You've got the classic dialogue coming from Han Solo. You get an opportunity where Leia gets to kick a little butt, and then, you know, Luke is you know, coming to terms with his discovering the Force, and it's all pretty awesome, and a lot of people are really excited about it.
So, John,
yes,
do you know anything about the NASA Beagle 2 on Mars being found after 12 years?
From what I understand, it was actually belonged to the European Space Agency, and it was just I don't exactly remember what the original mission of the Beagle 2 was, but apparently it crash landed on Mars, and it's been lost for like 10 years, but they just found it again. And it's just like, apparently apparently it's still operational. It's like sending out signals and stuff, but I guess they just didn't know where to look for it. So yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
So does that mean they're going to have 10 years of information to go through now?
I suppose. I haven't really
once they get that signal.
Yeah, I haven't really read that much in.
So was it supposed to be orbiting something and it just crash landed, or,
you know, unfortunately,
you don't know the details.
Yeah, I just kind of perused the article, but
the NASA stuff.
the cool thing that did happen recently, though, and I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but SpaceX is one of the commercial companies that NASA is currently working with to
space what?
SpaceX.
Okay.
Right.
No. See, I swear.
Yeah, you can't slur
SpaceX,
that.
But I didn't want to know. I didn't,
yeah, you
I
can't slur that.
It's a new company,
but
really?
they are one of the commercial companies that is working with NASA to currently resupply the International Space Station, and they are also in contract to be one of the first companies to start flying crew, but that won't happen until like 2017. So, however, recently they did launch a resupply vehicle up to the International Space Station. And one of the cool things that SpaceX is working on doing is they are working on reusable rockets, where after the stage one separation occurs and stage two continues off into higher orbit, normally the stage one rocket just splashes down into the ocean and then they have to, you know, recover it, and but it's really not usable. But what SpaceX is trying to do is they are trying to get the stage one portion of the rocket to fly itself back and land on the launch pad that it took off from. And so this is the technology that they're currently working on. And so in order to
like game changing.
It's like science fiction, really.
You know how much that would save in cost?
Oh, it would cut costs in half, being able to do that. And so they've been testing it, doing various different things. You can go to their website and see all of the different videos that they've shown where the rocket will lift off and it'll hover for like 2 minutes and then it'll slowly land itself back down again. But one thing, the test that they ran recently is that they had this giant floating platform out in the middle of the ocean, and they were going to attempt for the first time to have this rocket come and land on this platform.
Didn't go so well.
It went amazingly well, actually. When
until the very end.
In all things considered, the rocket actually hit the platform.
Yeah,
that. However, it hit the platform really hard. So I mean, just the fact that they were able to get the rocket to fly itself back to the point where it was essentially on target. They said that the one of the main things that failed was that the guide fins ran out of hydraulic fuel or hydraulic fluid, and so right before it was about to land, it lost a lot of its guidance because of the guide fins, and so it crashed. And so the next time they're going to do it, they've already planned that they've got 50% additional hydraulic fluid that they had previously, and then they're going to try to do it again. And they're going to do it again and again and again until it actually works.
See, that's the thing. That's what separates success and failure is you learn from your failure. You don't consider failures a bad thing. It's still data. Right.
Yeah. Right. Well,
it's still something that you can learn from. And so, you know, as an artist, I'm the same way. I'll make something and it could be, you know, a train wreck or a rocket crash in this case.
Yeah.
But at least I'll learn what worked and what didn't work for my next project. And, you know, I'm not a scientist like John, but I can just play with mud and John plays with numbers.
But it's really cool because like I said, SpaceX is the company that is going to be the first commercial company to launch U.S. crew from U.S. soil. And that's a very, very, very exciting thing because ever since the retirement of the shuttles, we haven't had the capability of launching crew from our own. We have to rely on the Russians to do that. And so the only way that we can get our crew up to space is we have to pay the Russians to do it. And so
we pay them a lot.
Yes, we do. We pay them quite a bit.
A lot.
And so you know, in just a couple of years from now, we're going to start having the capability of being able to fly our own crew on our own vehicle from our own soil. And so it's
portion of the cost.
Yes.
Because we'll have reusable rockets.
Because then they'll land itself back on the pad and they'll just be able to refit it with new rockets and send it back up again.
Land softly.
You should watch some, seriously though, the technology is capable because you should watch some of the videos that they've posted of their test flights. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah, I've seen one of the videos.
Yeah, some of the things
they're
doing.
That's why I know what you guys
are
talking about.
Yeah, some of the things they're doing is just,
science!
It's awesome. Science!
All right.
Science fiction.
Are you ready? Are you ready, Mike?
Maybe.
Uh-oh.
No. Yeah, I'm ready.
Because it's time for Geeky Trivia.
Woo! Nice. So this week's Geeky Trivia is Studio Ghibli Films.
Woo!
I am going to lose.
Me too. Because I was just talking to Rachel about it earlier tonight. I was like, yeah, we're going to do Miyazaki trivia. And I was like, oh, no, we're going to do Miyazaki trivia. Because as much as I'm a fan of Studio Ghibli, you know, I haven't necessarily watched everything.
Their like, characters' names.
Or like, you know, I mean, I've seen some, but I haven't seen all. And I haven't seen
the new one
as very many times, so we'll see how this goes.
We are ready.
Answer one, Ponyo.
So yeah, no. So the first 10 questions are relatively straightforward and easy.
Okay.
The next ten questions after that will really test your mettle.
Oh,
all right.
Okay. All right.
So, here we go. So, yeah. So, what is the name of the movie about a young warrior looking for a cure, a lady and her proud clan of humans, a young girl and her relationships with the animals
Princess
of the forest? Yes, oh, very oh, Princess oh. Mononoke.
Good.
So, all right, let me pull this up here. Sorry, I have to.
I don't know.
I couldn't see it.
That could have been.
Yeah, but you didn't listen to the whole question.
He's not really looking for a cure for anything.
No, so, cure for the poison forest.
Okay, so question number two. What is the name of this animated film about a young girl's own mailing company in a new town?
Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yes, yeah. Barry. Kiki's Delivery Service.
Say it.
Ooh. See, I'm trying to make it, you know, worthwhile.
Right.
All right.
That's right.
So that's,
I know
that's,
these ones.
That is two for Barry, though. All right. And John, and Ryan, and then me. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So name this Miyazaki masterpiece about a story of a seaside kingdom and another story 1,000 years after a great war. A courageous princess and an omu
are the main
characters. No.
Say it.
Laputa.
No.
Same.
What was it?
Ubi.
Say it again.
Okay. So,
Earthsea.
It's about a seaside kingdom and another seaside story kingdom. 1,000 years after a great war. A courageous princess and an omu. Our main characters.
Nausicaa.
Nausicaa.
Sing it.
Yay. Nausicaa finally.
I didn't know it was seaside.
Yeah, because they're in a valley. That one end
that
of one end of the valley. Yeah, one end of the valley is a beach, and
right.
The other goes up into the mountains.
Right.
Through I
didn't
know
this valley,
the
and
I
that's why
that,
that's why there always is fresh wind. All right. So, what movie is about a story of a mining apprentice, a legendary castle, Eric
that's
the pirates,
Castle in the Sky, Laputa.
Yes, very Castle in the Sky, Laputa.
Is it correct?
Yeah. So, what?
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 I don't know. What Miyazaki movie is about a story of a girl and her parents, an abandoned
Spirited
amusement
away.
Park? Yes, John, Spirited Away. All right. So, what is the title of an animated film about a story of a new home in the countryside? A
My Neighbor
forest
Totoro.
Spirit? Yes, Barry, My Neighbor Totoro.
Dude.
All right. and he's the one who said he would suck. All right. What is the title of this animated film about a story of nocturnal animals with the power to transform
Pompoko.
And clash between... Yes, Pompoko, John.
Woo! Hold that one out.
And which Miyazaki animated film is about a girl who works in a hat shop, a mysterious wizard... And a moving
Howl's
castle.
Movie castle.
Yes, very Howl's
all
moving
about
castle.
A girl. Every single one. What one is not about a girl?
Well, Miyazaki does write.
The
about
newest one. The Wind Rises. The newest one is about a guy.
The Wind Rises is about
a
guy.
There is a new film, newer film than that.
Porco Rosso.
All right.
That's about a guy.
There you go. What is the name of the movie that is about a mysterious cat that brings a schoolgirl and a determined boy together by
heart,
fate?
Where the Heart Resides. Where the Heart...
No.
Where?
And... you're on the... And a character named the Baron.
What the Heart wants. Where the... Dang it!
Oh, I'm totally going to give
heart,
John a half point.
The Heart... Dang it! Something
it's
with the Heart.
Whisper of the Heart.
Whisper of the Heart. Curses.
John. Yeah, you were on the right path. I was giving it to you, though. I'll give you at least a half a point for that. All right. This film is based on a long-running comic strip about a middle-aged businessman and his family. Touching and humorous.
My
what
neighbor,
the name
the
of
Yamada.
His yes. My neighbor's the Yamadas, John.
Hi.
Bam. That was a tougher one, too. All right. So now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty.
Oh, no.
Oh, great.
Because I did so well.
Yeah.
Good job. Let's stay up with us.
Ryan gets a point for comedy. All right.
Yeah. That's
all my points.
Sympathy comedy points.
All right. In the English dub of Howl's Moving Castle, the lead character Howl was voiced by Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
Who also starred as Batman in Batman Begins and so forth. Michael Keaton also played Batman and voiced a character in what Studio Ghibli film?
Michael Keaton? Kiki's Princess Mononoke.
No. So,
Ponyo.
I'll give you options.
No.
Spirited Away.
My neighbor's Totoro. He's the father.
No.
Castle in the Sky.
Tim Daly was
Cat the Returns or Poco Rosso.
Batman was the father.
Yeah.
Poco Rosso.
Yeah, Barry got Poco Rosso.
Batman
after I gave multiple options.
In Totoro.
Batman was the father in Totoro.
Yeah.
No, it was Poco Rosso. All right. Porco Rosso. Yeah. Anyway, other than being the highest grossing film in Japan until the release of James Cameron's Titanic, Princess Mononoke in 1997 was the first Japanese animated film to do what? Be submitted for best foreign film.
Released in America.
No. Being submitted for the best foreign film at the Academy Awards. Being the most expensive film production of all time. Winning the best animated film at the Academy Awards. Win Picture of the Year at the Japanese Academy Awards.
Picture of the Year, Japanese.
Yes, John.
That's what I would have guessed.
Well, I figured, you know, these are harder. So I'm going to go ahead and, you know, give multiple answers.
That's still one of my favorite ones.
All right. Ocean Waves, Studio Ghibli film in 1993, was mainly set in the city of Kochi, which is based in which Japanese island? Hokkaido, Kyushu, Honshu, or Shikoku?
Bless you.
Honshu.
Shikoku.
Yes, John.
Yeah, I guessed right.
You guys are funny. All right. In Ponyo, On the Cliff by the Sea, 2008, the wizard Fujimoto originally calls Ponyo by what name? Ifne, Tomoko, Brunhilde, or Asana? Yes, John, Brunhilde.
I didn't like Ponyo.
Ponyo, she's a little girl. She's a little girl in the deep blue sea. Ponyo.
Okay, that's enough of that. All right.
Well, his kids watched that like a billion times.
Yeah, I know. All right. Toshiko Suzuki has been the producer of Studio Ghibli movies since 1989. He also had what job at the studio? Writer, company
janitor,
president, animator, CEO.
Animator.
No.
No.
CEO.
No.
Oh,
quick.
Go, Ryan.
It's the other one.
It could be either writer or company president.
Oh, let's say writer.
No, he was the company president.
Man.
God. All right. So, early in the development of The Cat Returns, Hayao Miyazaki wanted the story to be based on a past film, Whisper of the Heart. So he requested the author of the original manga to write a manga for The Cat Returns. True or false?
False.
No.
I don't know.
No, it was true.
Obviously.
So you said false and nobody else said true. So true. I'll take that away.
False.
So,
I was waiting for Ryan. I know
he was waiting for me and I chose not to. I don't want a gimme.
All right. One of the most famous scenes in Pompoko is a goblin parade, which includes cameo appearances of characters from Studio Ghibli's past films. Which film does not have a character making cameo appearance in the parade? Is it Porco Rosso, Laputa Castle in the Sky, My Neighbor Totoro, or Kiki's Delivery Service? So it's not Totoro.
I would say Castle in the Sky.
Yes, John, Castle in the Sky. That does not have a character making a special appearance in that.
Good job.
Yay. All right. My Neighbor the Yamadas in 1999 is based on a manga. True or false?
True.
Yes, John, false. True.
you kind of gave that away from the earlier question.
Exactly. I was going to say, if you were listening to my earlier questions, you would have caught that.
We're supposed to listen.
Oh, man. Yeah. In 2001, Studio Ghibli opened the Ghibli Museum, which was designed by Hayao Miyazaki himself. It is situated in what city in Tokyo? Is it Hamura?
Wait, what city in Tokyo? Or
yeah, what city?
Tokyo is a
what
city.
District, it's what district?
District,
what district? In yeah, is it Hamura, Mitaka, Tama, or Komae? Gosh, dang it! I can't even say them sometimes.
Komae.
No.
The Kaka. What was that one?
Yes. Barry Mitaka, yes. I'll give it to you. Why not? All right. In the film Porco Rosso, why does Porco take on the resemblance of a pig?
He was cursed.
He was poisoned. He was born a pig. Nobody knows. He was cursed by a witch.
He was cursed.
Well, John, he was not cursed.
What?
He was born.
That was a curse.
He was born a pig.
No. Nobody knows why Porco Rosso resembles a pig. They just decided to draw him that way.
Oh, but I'm talking about in the story.
Yeah, nobody knows. So nobody really knows in the story why he resembles a pig. Yep.
We're all going to go right. Watch that now.
Yeah, I never thought. <am. laughs> What? All right. Oh, goodness gracious. There was one more I was going
to. One more.
Uno más.
It's a silly one, but I can't remember. I'm trying to remember the exact
Camelot.
Film.
This is a silly place.
All right. I just want to make sure I'm thinking of the correct film, and I'll ask the question. All right. So in Pompoko, the characters use what as magical weapons?
They're scrotums.
Yes, John, they're testicles.
What?
That's awesome.
Whoa, I have not seen that one.
I have not seen that one either.
I want to see it now.
It's so funny.
It's weirdest. No,
it's just hilarious. It's just they have giant scrotum testicle sacks, and they like beat off the people who are trying to, like...
Wait, no, that's not the right...
That's not the right word. No.
That's not what he meant, folks.
We were trying to go family-friendly, but, you know, Pompoko is PG, so it's okay to talk about it like this, right?
Right.
It was PG? Wow.
Yeah, 1994. It's,
all right.
Because they never make any sexual references.
Oh no, not at all. But it is
it's pretty.
You know, it is based off of Japanese myth.
Yeah.
So
they are magical raccoon
people.
Yeah, they're shapeshifters. They can transform into like these raccoon people. And so when they transform into these raccoon people, they have large testicles.
Now I'm trying to think of transforming animal people.
So stick that in your Blu-ray player and have fun.
Hengeokai. Hengeokai. I believe they're Hengeokai, which are animals who can turn into people.
But yeah. It's kind of a weird one. I've only seen it
raccoon doggies.
Yeah, I've only seen it once, and it was like back when I was in high school. No, maybe not that old, but still.
Yeah, you weren't in high school when this came out.
No,
It came out in 94.
94. No, so that was
Yeah, I was in high school.
That was well after high school, but
yeah.
But yeah, I remember seeing it once, and I'm like, okay, that's. I've never seen.
Oh, that's one of my like favorite trivias of Ghibli is like in Pompoko. People are like, "What?"
I knew exactly what you were going to ask as soon as you brought that up.
Oh man,
like, this is a silly question about Pompoko. Guess what the answer is?
It's funny.
Anyway, all right,
and we're done.
And okay. Next.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Wait, who won?
Oh, come on, John. You took it by, like, 3.5 points.
Say it!
John wins.
Woo!
Cool.
Now you.
How many points did I get?
You got one comedy point.
Wow. Oh, yeah. One comedy point.
That's more comedy points than I got.
It's true. You know, comedy points, those carry over, you do realize.
I think that'll be the title of our episode, One Comedy Point. All right, thanks, guys, for listening to The Closet Geek, and thanks to Doghouse Systems for their affiliation. Use code CLOSETGEEK for double the RAM on your purchase, and make sure to use our Amazon affiliate link on our website for all your shopping needs. Once again, you can find us at theclosetgeek.net and all our social media, and you can email us all your questions, or you want to make fun of us, or whatever you want to do. You can do that at theclosetgeekpod@gmail.com, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes and Stitcher. Come and join us next week. We are the Four Horsemen of Geek, reminding you to wave your geek flag proudly.
Just make fun of Barry.